I need to hear you better. Good morning. Better. Better. Thank you very much. And welcome to today's program on Meet Syracuse. The weather today, I know, it's a little bit wet. But the other day I was reading a blog on the New York Times about Seattle. And Seattle is something like the fastest growing city in the United States outside the South. And let me tell you, Seattle, this is Seattle weather. And, you know, they embrace it. So we're going to embrace it too. So welcome. I wanted to give you a heads up about next week, which of course next Thursday will be St. Patrick's Day. But we will also be talking about arts and culture, which we know, and I'm sure that we're going to hear a little bit about today, is very important to our local culture and our local economy. So we will have Heidi Holt from the Gifford Foundation and also Steve Butler from the Cultural Resources Council and a few others talking about some of the things that are being considered to strengthen arts, culture, history, and entertainment in Syracuse and Central New York. So that will be a good one. Following week, we're going to help kick off the Vera House White Ribbon Campaign. So we'll be talking about domestic and sexual violence and what we can do to help end that in our community. March 31st, very important service in our community, Centro Public Transit, is having some troubles, but also having some good news. There are some new things going on. So Frank Kablitsky, the executive director, will be back at the end of March to talk about Centro and what's new and what some of the challenges are. One other announcement, I promise this is the last. June 8th is the Onondaga Citizens League annual meeting. Among other things, you should know that David Holder, who will be talking to us today, is going to be the speaker there. I promise you it will be a different talk. So don't think that because you've heard David Holder today, you've heard what he's going to say on in June. We have a lot to say about things that are going on in the community and also with the Onondaga Citizens League's community image study. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce David Heyman, who is the general manager of the Syracuse University Sheraton Hotel and Conference Center and also the president of the Syracuse Hospitality and Tourism Association, and he will introduce today's guest speaker. Thank you, David Heyman.
Well, thank you very much. I have the honor and pleasure to introduce David Holder. I've worked collaboratively with David for, I guess, as long as he's been in this community on many projects. Relating to tourism, sat on many boards with David, and certainly it's been a great pleasure to work with him. He's a true champion of the tourism industry. In fact, I don't know anybody who hails from where David hails who embraces snow as much as a guy from North Carolina, so that's pretty impressive. In fact, secretly, he won't tell you this, but I think he's hoping that we hit the state record for snow so he can find a way to market it. So, is that true, David? So in any event, now David's a true and tireless leader, and we're very, very privileged to have him in our community. And with no further ado, David Holder.
We're already working on that press release for the 200 inches. Good morning, everyone. It's a great pleasure to be here. Good morning, everyone. There we go. I'm going to start out today with a little bit of a question, because I know we've got some very bright, very talented people in this room. We all have a lot of different interests and a lot of diversity here. Who has a hobby? Who has something they're passionate about? Let's see some hands. Let's hear a couple of these.
Practice piano.
Piano, right there. How about another one?
Biking.
Skiing.
Gardening.
Needlepoint. I heard another one over here. What was it? Golf. Is that what I heard? Golf. Lots of passions. That is great. And that is what I'm going to talk about today. It's harnessing those passions, harnessing those hobbies. And I'm going to tell you about a few people who have been able to do that really, really well. To start this, I've got a prop. This person right here is Michelle Feldman. Now, Michelle has a lot of different likes. She likes to eat steaks at Dominic's. She likes to go shopping in Skinny Atlas. She likes to go out for drinks in Armory Square. But her real passion, take a guess, bowling. And she's really, really
Did I say really? She's really good at bowling, to the point that she is a professional. She owns Falcon Lanes in Auburn. She is a hometown hero in every sense of the word. She competes on a professional level every year for the U.S. Bowling Congress. And she's excited because they're coming to Syracuse. And they're coming to Syracuse because of the passion of people like Michelle and people like Sandy Adiano, who, again, she may not be a professional bowler, but she loves bowling. And she's helping to bring this group here from April to July of this year. April to July. I'm going to give you some numbers. 30,000. Can you remember that? 30,000? 30,000. 40 million. Everybody remember that? All right, what was the first number? 30,000. What was the second number? 40 million. 1.5 million. Who can remember that one? All right. Those are key figures for this event because we're bringing in 30,000 women bowlers, not counting their friends and family, just bowlers. They're going to spend $40 million while they're here. And they're going to leave behind $1.5 million in just sales tax dollars. Just sales tax. Now, we're kind of taking that and saying, okay, this is going to be a great event for Syracuse because all of those 30,000 bowlers are going to go home and they're going to tell all of their friends and all of their family and all of their neighbors and all their coworkers what a fantastic time they had in Syracuse, New York. They're going to tell them all the different things they did while they were there. And these bowlers go like crazy. They will come in, they'll start bowling at 7 a.m., but they only do it for about 3 hours a day. They bowl 2 of the 3 to 4 days that they are here for 2 to 3 hours. And that's their time they'll spend in the On Center, which is being constructed right now as 48 lanes of high-skilled bowling. They're also building a mall. They're building an opportunity for us to showcase this community. It is a bowling attraction. Our convention center is being converted into this. Now, when they're not bowling, they're going to be out in our community. Now, who remembers when the men were here in 1999? Anybody remember that? Now, here's some things that we've been told by the U.S. Bowling Congress about the women bowlers. They spend more than the men. They eat more than the men. They gamble more than the men. And they drink more than the men. Now, we have to love that about these bowlers. In fact, we have adopted a theme, and you're going to see this theme in the next few weeks because we're putting up a gigantic banner on the parking garage of the Crown Plaza. Now, everyone know this hotel. It's a big, round hotel. You can see their parking garage when you're on I-81 going south, when you're on the entrance ramp going up to I-81 as you're headed to 690. Our theme for this is, have you hugged a bowler today? Because that's our job as a community, is to welcome these folks and tell them how much we appreciate them choosing Syracuse over every other place they could go in the country. Right now we have nearly 5,800 teams that have registered for this event. They come into town in groups of five, a team of five. We're going to welcome them from the minute they arrive at the airport or at their hotel with banners welcoming. You can see kind of an example of what that's going to be. They're going to see color, and they're going to see how warm of a place this is, regardless of what the temperature is. That's our job as a community, is to welcome these groups and make them feel like they have reached a home, a place that really, really honors them and respects them and appreciates them. And that's part of what we do every day at the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Now, we are your destination marketing organization. Our job is to go out and find groups like the U.S. Bowling Congress that can come to this town. Our job is to go out and find visitors who want to come here and experience everything there is to do, from our history to our culture to our sports to our events. We want them to experience it all. But we depend really heavily on people like Michelle and people like you. We depend on the efforts of folks like Ben Levy, who is a scientist at Census. Ben is a really, really, really smart guy. And he's involved with a group called the Digital Avionics Systems Conference. It's a group that has met everywhere in the country, all the big, big cities. In fact, last year they were out in Salt Lake City. We sent a sales force out there because we were working with Ben. He referred us to this group. This is a group that really their industry is radar. Their industry works in that high-tech, high manufacturing, very technical industry. We sent a sales force out to that conference, working with Ben. We made the right connections. That conference is now coming here in 2013 because Ben gave us that referral to begin with. We depend on people who are passionate about what they do because we can harness that passion and we can go out and find other people who do it. We depend on the work of folks like Sharon Putney. And Sharon Putney is with a group called Sweet Adelines. Anybody know, have heard of Sweet Adelines? Yeah? They've been coming to Syracuse for years. They've also been pitched by every other destination in the Northeast and in Ontario because they want what we have. But because of Sharon Putney, we have a person who is passionate about this area and passionate about keeping that group here. Our community rolls out the red carpet for this group every April. They come in, it's a ladies' chorus group. For those of you who aren't aware of what Sweet Adelines is, they perform like crazy. They compete with each other. They come in from all over Ontario. They come in from all over New York, all over the Northeast. They descend on Syracuse, and they stay at multiple hotels while they're here, and they contribute millions to our local economy. We really appreciate their business. We appreciate the efforts of Sharon Putney to make certain they keep coming back to Syracuse. We have another group that's coming up for a three-year stint of the United Methodist Church. They're coming here because of Vicki Putney. I don't know if there's any relation there, but there could be. Vicki is a local meeting planner who had been working with this group all over the country and really started working with us to say, hey, can I bring this to Syracuse? Can we make this work in Syracuse? We started competing with Buffalo, Rochester, Albany, and several other communities in the Northeast. And as they narrowed down the opportunity here, they chose Syracuse because we were able to put the pieces together that made this piece work. Same way that we made the pieces work for the U.S. Bowling Congress. It took a really passionate sales force to go up and assemble the right program for them. But between the hotels, between the convention center, having the right dates available, having it for a focused amount of time, between the county being able to step forward and say, we're willing to make the investment in this group, because you've got to invest to make money, right? We are willing to make the investment in this group to bring them into this town. And it took having a collaborative effort between all of our different attractions to say, we can put these pieces together and make this thing happen. That's why Bowling Congress chose here. That's why the United Methodist Church chose here. That's why Sweet Adelines continues to choose here. But it starts with that local connection. Now, on your tables is a little form. Hold it up here. This is one of the first steps we use when we go out to start the selling process. We depend on connections that you might have to tell us where should we start looking for groups to come in here. And I'll give you a few more other examples. Has anyone seen in July some really bright hot rods driving around town? Syracuse Nationals is a major event for this community. In fact, it's one of our largest events outside the state fair. That's how big this thing has grown. Syracuse Nationals came to Syracuse initially, and it stays in Syracuse despite the efforts of communities like Knoxville, Tennessee, Detroit, Michigan, to try to lure them away. They stay in Syracuse because we're passionate about keeping them here. And that Bob O'Connor, the person who started this event, lives here and wants to make certain that he's doing something to generate opportunities for this area. Syracuse Nationals is a headline event for Syracuse. It puts us on the map every single year. Now, this year we've got a new opportunity coming up, and it's called the King of Trucks. It's the same concept of Syracuse Nationals, but it's dealing strictly with trucks. You don't have to be a hot rod. You don't have to be of a certain vintage car type. You just have to be a truck that has had some type of aftermarket modification to you. That's a fancy word for being tricked out. They're bringing this event that they recognize that there was an opportunity for this event to really take off. They started working with the Convention and Visitors Bureau. They started talking to the state fairgrounds. We started putting the right package together. We said, you know what? We have a hole for Memorial Day weekend. It is a time where we see tourism just plummet because people stay at home. They go out to their camps. They're out barbecuing. We've not made tourism work for Memorial Day weekend here. And they said, well, we think we can make it work. Now we've got an event that's going to be taking off on Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be here for as many years as we can keep it here. The county has gotten behind it with some financial investments. The Convention and Visitors Bureau has gotten behind this from seeing how we can push this thing forward. It will be the next Syracuse Nationals, and it will possibly be even bigger. And it's taking place at a time where we needed that business as a community. So we put all these different pieces together, but we depend on people like you to tell us who should we turn to next. So if you're into skiing, if you're into gardening, if you're into needlework, if you're into history, Greg Tripoli, how do we grab those groups? Who are the contacts we should be talking to go after more groups that you might be affiliated with? So one way I like to say this is, where do you go for conferences, for events, for your hobbies? And who do you know that you need to refer to us? If you can help us with those things, you'll make our efforts as a community to drive tourism, to offset other tax revenues by bringing in revenues from tourists. Because one of the great things about tourists is when they come here, they take out their wallets, they dump out all their money, and then they go home. It's one of the greatest things about this industry. So, but we need your help. We need your help in those referrals. We need to know who you're working with. If you're involved with some associations, we need to know what those associations are. Please, if you'll use this form, and if you're listening out there, you can get in touch with the Convention and Visitors Bureau. We'll take any referrals you have. We'll follow up on it. We will help make that business come to Syracuse. I'll take any questions now that you might have. Oh, and I do have prizes if you do have a referral that you'd like to turn in today.
Thank you, David. Are there any questions? I have a question. I know about what these women are going to be doing while they're here, aside from bowling. I know that you are going to be taking them. You mentioned gambling. They're going to be going places where they can gamble, and they're probably, you mentioned drinking. They're probably maybe going to be going to places where they can do winery tours or things. But in the downtown area, in the city, are there any particular events or promotions going on downtown? And I ask this especially because in yesterday's Post Standard, and I don't see the Post Standard editors here, so I'm not really talking behind their backs, but if they were here, I'd ask the same question. There was an editorial that was a little bit critical of a downtown committee effort, a state-funded effort, to bring some ambassadors downtown to who I expect are going to be trying to talk to people like the lady bowlers and making them feel welcome and comfortable. A, what are they doing downtown, and how do you see the Downtown Ambassadors program fitting into your tourism effort?
Lots of different pieces to that question, Sandra. So let me start with the first piece. We are engaging with the women bowlers while they're in throughout the community. We're going to have hospitality tables set up at the airport to give them information once they get off their planes. We're going to have hospitality tables or information tables at each of the hotels that they are registered as part of the room block. I think we have about 15 different hotels that are actually putting aside specific rooms and a specific rate for the U.S. Bowling Conference. Doesn't mean that necessarily every lady bowler is going to be staying in one of those hotels. We do anticipate there'll be some that book outside of that room block. But we're using those 2 points for giving information. But the biggest point we're going to have is at the On Center. We're building out, as part of the build out there, a visitor center inside of the bowling center that's being constructed there. That visitor center is going to consist of a lot of different information points. We're going to have it will be staffed for the entire time that the bowlers are here. Our staff is trained on how to refer them to where they might want to eat, what other attractions they might want to see. Our staff is going to be very knowledgeable of what we need to be sending them out to do. In addition to that, we're going to have some technology tools that are available. So we've got iPads that are going to be in that visitor center that show as a kiosk some of the different things there are to do, some of the suggestions that people can have to get out in front of the community. Those type of pieces are going to be taking place. Now, in addition to that, the U.S. Bowling Congress has organized certain tours as part of this. They've also gotten in a lot of different sponsors and participants. If you want to be, if you're an attraction and you want to get your product in front of the U.S. Bowling Congress, you have to be participating as an advertiser with the U.S. Bowling Congress. That is key. They own this event in the same way that when NCAA comes to town, they own that event. So this is a U.S. Bowling Congress event. We have been instructed thoroughly that any information that's going into that visitor center cannot have participants who are not advertisers with the U.S. Bowling Congress. This is their space. This is not our space. It is their space. So we're working through all of that. Once they get, and then there's a number of different players that have come forward with that in our town. One of the best examples is Wise Guys, the comedy club. Wise Guys stepped up early on, and they said, we recognize what this event is going to do for this town. We recognize what it's going to do for us as a business. They stepped up as a sponsor. They started developing some really cool and creative menu options that are bowling-themed. They developed a couple of drinks that are bowling-themed. They've had a party booked out of this event because of how quickly they jumped on board with it. They're going to get, in fact, they've even went to the scale of thinking about, could we organize a party bus that just gets them from the convention center to the Wise Guys? Didn't necessarily become a final plan, but it was a cool concept to think of. So that's a great example. Krauss Marshall District is doing some street banner stuff. They stepped forward as a sponsor. They're going to be up there in droves, driving them, especially if they're staying at the Sheridan. Armory Square, as you can imagine, doing a lot of different pieces, getting a lot of touch points with this group. We're going to have these kind of banners, street pole banners, something that we don't necessarily do a good job of here in Syracuse other than Little Italy. I think Little Italy is kind of the key area that does a nice job with street pole banners. Krauss Marshall District does the same thing. But we're going to blanket this town with street pole banners. And once these banners are up, when they go down, when the bowlers leave, we're going to be able to keep that hardware up there and start putting up other banners to make this town more colorful, more inviting for other groups. It's going to be a nice leave behind for this event that comes in. Now let me talk about the downtown ambassadors. The main point with the downtown ambassadors is this is a great way to really make our town more hospitable to visitors that come in, whether those visitors are from Cincinnati or from Cicero. We have a very big responsibility to help people overcome, and when I say we, I mean the entire community, not just the CVB or the downtown committee. We have a responsibility to make our visitors understand that downtown Syracuse is a welcoming place. Downtown Syracuse has a lot of vibrancy. Downtown Syracuse is a safe place. But the way that we make those things happen the most is to make a personal connection. And that's where the key to the downtown ambassador comes in. Who's been to Philadelphia? Philadelphia is actually a model for this. Philadelphia has roving ambassadors, whether they're interpreters talking about the history of the town or whether they're just out there answering questions and directing people the right way. They are the model for this type of ambassador program. And it works because it does a few different things. It helps our visitors find where they're wanting to go. It helps our visitors learn about things that they might not have known about otherwise. And it helps our visitors walk through an area where they feel more safe. Because the key to safety is people. If I see more people there, I'm going to feel comfortable there. How many of you skip the restaurant that doesn't have anyone in it to go to the restaurant that does? We all do. Because it makes us feel comfortable and it makes us feel safe and it makes us feel warm and invited. And that's the key to a downtown ambassador program. I think it's an incredible program for us to be moving forward with, and it's a great way to overcome some of these things that we've heard about downtown Syracuse that we always chalk as negatives. Now we're going to turn those negatives into positive because we're putting a body on it.
Okay. Thank you. All right, some questions. Rachel.
Thank you for your presentation. It was wonderful. I work at Syracuse University, and my husband works at Lemoyne. We've both been involved in bringing fairly large numbers of people in for academic conferences, but I don't recall there being any connection to the Convention Visitors Bureau. And I'm wondering what kind of connection you would like to see for those kinds of
Here's the piece that I think we could do a lot of things. One, there are a few different value points that the Convention Visitor Bureau can bring to a group like that, especially a group that's possibly come here in the past but not necessarily been connected with the community like that. The first piece is we can actually help coordinate a lot of the different pieces that you have to put on as a meeting planner and as an organizer for that type of thing. We can take some of that off your shoulders, so now you can focus on the event versus the logistics of the event. Things like coordinating with hotels, things like coordinating with meeting facilities, we can do a lot of that work for you. The next piece is we can make your group feel, we can increase the hospitality they feel when they come into our area. We do that through, we can put a welcome table on, we can organize special tours for them. We've done some things that actually one of my favorites, because I like to eat, is we organize dine-around programs where we get a group of restaurants put together. They put together a very special menu for the group. And basically, as the group comes off and they've got a free night to go out and kind of roam the town, here is a group of six different restaurants that they can start choosing from that are waiting for the group to arrive, that already have tables set aside for it, that's pretty organized, but it's still informal. So it gives a sense of, hey, we're going out for a night on the town. So we can do some of those hospitality things. We can put up banners. We can put up welcome signs in some of the businesses. We can help your group feel like when they arrive in Syracuse, they've arrived at a place that's really welcoming for them and really wants them to be here. So
there is a negative about Syracuse, and I'd like to give it a positive twist. The negative is that there's an awful lot of litter in Syracuse. And after 173 inches of snow, there's even more litter. The positive. You have mentioned a number of ways that businesses can be involved, but you really haven't mentioned any way that people in the community can be involved. I'd like to suggest a two-a-day. You've heard of one-a-day, the tablet. Two-a-day, 25 years working downtown, I made a practice of picking up at least two pieces of litter on my way to work or coming from work. And that's just a way to get the community involved where they have some feeling that they've been part of this whole thing.
I love that idea. I'll build on that a little bit. April 2nd, who's busy? I'm not seeing a lot of hands, so I expect you to come out. We've organized a community cleanup because as we like to refer to the 173 inches as snow trash archaeology. We've got some digging out to do. We're going to find different layers once we get in that snow, and we've got to pick it up. We've got to pick it up for our bowling friends that are coming in, but we've got to pick it up for us too. We have a responsibility for all of us to make certain that the community has got a nice face on it. And I like the two-a-day approach. But April 2nd, There's a community cleanup being organized. We hope you all can come out and help out. We've got some picking.
Is there a group size that you need to work with? Number one, is there a cost to the organization? For instance, our garden club is having a major convention here in another couple of years, but I'm not sure it'll be large enough for what you're talking about. So I'd like some of those questions answered.
Let me give you a little, clear up some facts on that. We'll work with any size group. We love big groups, but part of the thing that makes Syracuse special is we can show the same invitation, the same hospitality to a group that's 20 or a group that's 2,000. The cost. There is no cost. And the reason there is no cost is that cost is actually picked up by our visitors. When our visitors come in, they stay at our hotels and our bed and breakfast. They pay a room occupancy tax, and part of that tax goes to fund our marketing efforts, our sales efforts, and our services from the Convention and Visitors Bureau. So we're actually funded through the proceeds of the visitors that come in here from these programs. So all of our programs for our customers are complimentary.
David, there's sort of been this local pastime the last few years of dueling downtown hotels between the old Hotel Syracuse and the proposed new hotel. And now we see they're both sort of struggling on different kinds of tracks. But is there really an opportunity for both of them? Does it have to be one or the other?
This is one of the toughest questions. The first answer to that question is we need something. And the reason we need something is we are leaving business behind that the other communities are picking up because we don't have what the meeting planners are looking for. They like having that connectivity. They like that easy access. Some of the things that we've done in the interim have been we've really gotten good at shuttling. We've gotten really, really good at getting people from off the hill, from Carrier Circle, from the 7th North Street area into downtown to work with our convention center. But we can't do what we need to do in the future if that's all we have. We've done some competitive comparisons, and a great one is Buffalo. Buffalo doesn't have as good a convention center as we do, but the Hyatt Hotel, which is really nearby, is a really nice property. And that's where they're able to put something together that makes it work. For Syracuse, if we go too big right off the bat, everyone else suffers. Our other hotels suffer because all of a sudden there's just too many rooms available for our visitors, and they start really preying on one another because we're not going to be able to put enough conventions in there to make that only a convention center hotel. They're going to have other forms of business. But we do need something. That's been one of the hardest questions we had to ask. And I think one reason it hasn't happened is because we've been scratching our heads on which one is it. I think the way we've got to go is whichever one can get going first. So we've got to have it.
Dave, over the years I've been involved with organizations, and Syracuse has lost out on the convention because of the quality of the rooms. Not the number, but the quality. So what quality is needed to bring in some convention?
I tell you, one of the best ways to answer that question is we need to get those meeting planners into town. When we do site visits, in fact, I've been here 4 years. We've done a number of site visits with meeting planners. We've lost one. And the only reason we lost it is because they couldn't get the number of rooms they needed in one or two properties. Our hotels, since the decline of the Hotel Syracuse, our hotels have made major million-dollar investments in their infrastructure. In fact, the Sheraton's going through one right now. They're taking a good product and they're making it even better. If someone has a challenge against what they perceive as the quality of our hotels, connect them with me and we're going to walk them through it, because I think what we have here definitely compares really, really well with what any other city is going to put out there for the hotel quality.
We haven't lost business in our lost files in recent years. We haven't lost business, any business, on quality. We've lost it on size. We've lost it on connectivity with the convention center. And we've lost it for, in some cases, for rate, because there are certain times of the year that we can't compete on rate because we've got other business coming in. But quality, I don't think we can show quality as an issue.
Yeah, my question is about size and rooms as well. How many rooms are there, I mean, that could be set aside for a major convention within easy walking distance of the convention center?
Easy shuttle is a lot easier answer for that. We can do about 600 rooms on a good day within easy shuttle distance of the convention center. It takes a lot of fitting, but we can do it. Usually, the great thing about Carrier Circle is it's less than a 10-minute drive from here on a shuttle bus. So we've been able to pull that group in, as well as the 7th North Street. If you haven't been up to the Holiday Inn up by Electronics Parkway, you're going back to Sarah's question on quality, they underwent this incredible, it's like a phoenix rising, the incredible renovation project. And we've got so many, the DoubleTree is going through one right now. There's a lot of investment going into our hotels, and that it's really made a difference. We can put those shuttle options together. And I think if you got a group that you think might fit, we'll figure out a way to get them in here, and especially if we can do that site visit.
David, you mentioned that the Convention and Visitors Bureau funding comes from the room occupancy tax that's paid by visitors to hotels. And I think we've just been through a tough budget cycle. And can you talk about where the receipts are and where your funding is for the coming year?
Yes. All right, let me go back in time a little bit. 2008 was on track to be our greatest year ever from a hotel performance and industry performance point of view. Now, who remembers what happened in September of 2008? Yeah. It just nosedived. It still was one of our better years, just from the performance of the first 7 months. 2009 was abysmal, as it was for every destination out there, pretty much for every business out there. 2010 jumped back, and we jumped back almost to where we were in 2008. 2011, we had a nice January. February wasn't bad. We're going to start seeing it pick up. We're going to continue to see that growth. We're going to build on the rest of the year. And again, having 30,000 visitors come into town is not going to hurt. So we really feel like there's a lot of opportunities for growth. Our biggest concern right now is 2012, because we're going to see a nice peak for 2011. We don't have that scale of business coming into town in 2012. 2013, I think we're going to see it jump back up. But again, part of our job is to look a few years in the future and start putting business into the community into the future.
So, and your funding, has that up?
Our
follow the receipts?
No.
If you'd rather not answer that question, it's all right.
our funding, as it has been for many organizations, it does have to go through the political process. We depend on the county legislature, the county executive, and as part of her budget to put forward to the county legislature. We depend on how everything else fits in with that. We've been able to. We took a pretty big drop in funding in 2010. Yes, 2010. We saw some of that come back for the 2011 budget. But we've also seen a lot of our partners go through some really big challenges with their funding. And again, it's one of these pieces of we may handle the marketing, but we've got to have strong product to really get the marketing message out there. So a strong product needs to have good marketing to get their message out there. So really these two hands have to wash one another.
Thank you.
David, with the visitors that come into town for the events that you plan, Do you conduct visitor satisfaction surveys of their experiences in the area? And what is, and if you do, what are they rating the most positively, and what are they rating as the lowest things that they experience?
Sure, we've done a few different surveys, and we do surveys of every convention group that comes in. And those are more general. It talks a little bit, does have some open-ended questions so we can get some feedback on there. They always rate our community higher than they anticipated in virtually every case. Unless they've had some really bizarre thing happen to them along the way, we score very, very highly compared to what they anticipated. I don't know what that says about our community, but compared to what they anticipated, they score us higher. In fact, you'll see one of the themes that we have is we'll surprise you. And that's one of the reasons we say that, because we often do. We've also done some surveys of leisure visitors when they come in. And one of the things that they rate us really highly in terms of our attractions, our shopping assets. In fact, shoppers come, when our visitors come here, they shop like crazy. So shopping is a big, big piece of our business. They eat like crazy. They rate our restaurants really highly. What they rate us low in is signage and the ability to get around our community. So another reason this ambassador piece is so important, because it helps us get those directions out. We need more signage. We need better signage to help our visitors find where they're trying to get to. Signage is a big piece of this.
If someday there was a destiny, what real impact would that really have on everything that you do?
I'll answer that from the when the expansion is completed. You will see this, and I'm not talking about the full scope of destiny. I'm talking about this, just the expansion that's sitting there as a shell waiting for something to happen. When you see that happen, you're going to see this destination transform in an incredible way. We have Canadian visitors in Canada. I talked about kind of what we saw in terms of 2009 business and 2010 business. A good piece of the reason that we didn't go down as much as a lot of other destinations did is because of our neighbors to the north. Canadian visitors came here in droves. And what did they do when they were here? Was the only reason that they came here in the first place? To shop. They save money on provincial taxes. They have more diversity of product. They have stores they can't find in Canada. Those three pieces attract Canadian visitors down here to shop. When we have an expanded carousel, and that's happening with just the carousel center as it is. When we have an expanded carousel center, you're going to see that number go up exponentially, so that we're not just drawing from Ottawa and Kingston and that area of Canada that's just driving up and down the I-81 corridor. Then we're going to start seeing people coming over from Toronto. And Toronto is a massive population. They're going to skip over Buffalo, they're going to skip over Rochester, and they're going to come here because of the diversity of shops that we'll have, because of the diversity of experiences we'll have, and because of the quality we'll be able to put forward from that.
One of the things I always thought we had going for us was our location in New York State, being in central New York, sort of. Well, it is. But now, with the state of New York, they're developing, I think, the Utica area as a central New York location. Is that right? And if it is that competing with our central New York location?
No, I think one of the things that our location has always been a great asset for us. It will always be a great asset for us. And part of it is we go after a lot of New York State-based business. It's easier to get to Syracuse than it is to get to Utica. And a big piece of that is our airport. And we've got some things to do with our airport. We've got some things to do with our airport authority, creating that, making that thing happen. We need another low-cost air carrier coming into Syracuse. There's work being done on that. But that's one piece that we have that certainly Utica doesn't have. We have some bigger concerns that are out there, and some of the bigger concerns are some of the larger cities, Buffalo, Rochester, Albany, and some of the smaller cities. Saratoga is going through a process right now. Saratoga's a great little town. They're going to process right now to expand their convention center. Lake Placid is going through a process right now to greatly expand their convention center. We've got to make certain that as a community we're keeping up with some of these other competitive things that people are offering. We also need to make certain that we're pushing some of the infrastructure needs that we have. We mentioned low-cost airfare, but we also need to keep moving forward with high-speed rail. That's going to be our future as a community. It's going to be a future as this Northeast Quadrant. We've got to have that as an infrastructure development project moving forward.
Dave, one of the things I wonder about once every 3 years is when an international airplane has to land in Syracuse because of problems in either Boston or New York City, if there's a GO team that ever meets them and lets them know that they're not been dropped into some unusual, strange place.
We do not have that organized, Sarah, but it's a great idea. That's something we can work on. I like the GO team. It's a great way to roll out. Just throw out some pizzas for them to say, "Well, welcome to Syracuse. Glad you could stop here."
If they let them off the plane. But anyway, David, I think it's been about a year since the Chamber of Commerce Convention and Visitors Bureau and the Metropolitan Development Association merged into Center State CEO. Can you say something about what, if any, effect that might have had on the way that you do business or able to operate?
I think one of the first questions that comes up is how much duplication was going on between these different organizations. There wasn't as much, and really we've learned a lot. We merged in May of last year. We've learned a lot in the months that followed. And we learned there wasn't so much duplication as there was a lack of communication. And the lack of communication created a lack of collaboration. That's a lot of shuns. The key to this merger, and the merger has been fantastic. I talked a little bit about Ben Levy and the Digital Avionics Systems Conference. We managed to, one of the reasons that conference came here was because with the business touch points that Center State CEO had beyond the Convention and Visitors Bureau, we were able to assemble representatives from Lockheed Martin, from SRC and SRC Tech, from Anaren, and from Census, and from the 174th to meet us at the hotel for a reception for the meeting planner. Now, if that meeting planner walked in, it was just us in the room, we can give a really nice welcome, but our welcome can't be as nice as seeing the individuals from multiple businesses that are going to benefit from this conference being in town and having that sheer force welcoming this one meeting planner walked in, and there's seven different people from seven different companies welcoming them into our community and saying how much they want them to come in here. That's been one of the biggest assets of having this merged organization. Another has been our coordination with the Downtown Committee. Downtown Committee has a very specific footprint with downtown Syracuse that it has to work in. Syracuse Convention and Visitors Bureau works more on a countywide, region-wide basis. We're able to put some really critical touch points now with our downtown businesses because of the efforts of the Downtown Committee. So it's been a lot of new collaboration and a lot of new communication. It's been very, very positive.
Well, I think there are a lot of takeaways, but one is going to be remember to hug a bowler sometime between April 7th and July something or other. So if you're out in a restaurant and you see a group of four or five women enjoying themselves, give them a hug, or welcome them. April 2nd, and we'll get this word out to you via email or have some reminders. April 2nd is the cleanup. You can sign up through the Downtown Committee or through the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And the cleanup, I think, is going to be focused downtown and in the Hill area, and they'll provide you with stuff, gloves, I think, and everything, and free lunch. And a free lunch. So there you go, on April 2nd. And I can't wait to see the banners up. That's going to be great. So thank you very much, David Holder, and thank you all.